you've downloaded the Buckeye Leafcast, featuring two guys who have absolutely no clue what they're talking about.
Oh my goodness, Chris!
I guess if I'm going to give just a quick summary, I would say, you know, basically, what if...
First of all, I have some corrections for some of the things you said.
That's a mystery.
And now, here are your hosts for the Buckeye Leafcast, Andy Evans, and the intergalactic Buckeye fan himself, Mr. Chris Stefanik.
Rock and roll, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, baby. It's time to talk a little Buckeye football. You've gone and done it again and downloaded the Buckeye Leafcast with your hosts. And if this turns out to be a regular thing, I'm going to be shocked because I can't believe I'm saying this for a second week in a row this season. My man, talking about a big Buckeye win over the Nittany Lions on Saturday. You know who. My brother-in-arms, my podcasting partner in crime, the man, the myth. He's all over the fucking world, folks. That's right, the intergalactic Buckeye fan himself, Mr. Chris Stefanik.
I'm feeling good, Andy. Feeling good.
Woo!
Man, I tell you, I said coming for weeks now, I've been saying, and I don't know that I actually said it on the Leafcast, but I've just been saying, I'm like, hey, a 1-point victory against Penn State and I'll be happy. I want to blow the doors off them, but like, give me 1 point. And that's a good win. You beat them by 1 point. That's a good win. So, I'm pretty happy right now. We clinched the Big Ten East champions and everything's still in front of us.
Well, whenever you can talk about Ohio State remaining undefeated and beating an arch rival division foe, especially when it comes to Penn State, and solidifying a third straight year in the Big Ten championship game, I don't think anybody can sneeze at that win. Now, granted, final score, your number two, still undefeated, now 11-0 Ohio State Buckeyes, 28, the formerly number 8, 9-1, Penn State, Nittany Lions, 17. Yes, Chris, it probably was not the blowout that a lot of people honestly were expecting. And here goes Andy. See, this is why I am a reverse psychologist, okay, Chris? Because whenever I honestly think, okay, they're finally going to do it, they're going to come out, they're going to smoke the opponent, and for a second, it looked like that was going to happen. But Penn State rallied.
It very easily could have happened, honestly.
Could have very easily happened, but, and we'll get into it here in a second, you know, the Buckeyes, some mistakes, they were exposed a little bit yesterday. Now, granted, it was a cold, crummy, rainy day in Central Ohio, so I'm willing to give the Buckeyes a pass, but still, some things happened I'm sure you're going to want to break down, but the big news of the game, really, two big things. Number one, J.K. Dobbins passed Eddie George for third all-time on OSU's rushing list. 36 carries on Saturday, 157 yards, 2 touchdowns. And the other big story, of course, the freak. I mean, the absolute monster, the beast on the defensive side of the ball for the Buckeyes, Chris. 3-week layoff, and our boy, the Predator, Chase Young, comes out and just has an absolute game, dude. Career high, 9 tackles, 4 for loss, 3 sacks to now become Ohio State's single season sack leader with 16 and a half sacks on the season. Also had 2 forced fumbles. Woo! What a game, dude, from Chase Young, Chris. Just unbelievable performance.
Yeah, he broke the record in 9 games. And honestly,
yeah, and he didn't even play the last 2 games. And he still has 16 and a half with how many more games to go?
Right. And let's face it. I mean, yes, he's logged snaps in 9 games, but many of those games he wasn't playing in the second half. So we're talking on, if you look at it, okay, he played four quarters versus Penn State, four quarters versus Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And then he played halves of like seven more games.
Well,
he basically played six games.
Yeah.
He broke, he's got 16 and a half sacks and broke the freaking single season record in about six full games.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's unbelievable. He's better than what the Boses were when they were here. It's like, and these guys are like, I'm tearing it up on Sundays. I never would have thought we would lose the Boses and like,
not even blink an eye,
miss them, but even be better. I mean, are you kidding me? Like, what's Larry Johnson going to do to like top this?
Oh my God. Well, and some people are saying Chase Young, the best defensive lineman that Ohio State's ever seen. And hey, I'm watching the game yesterday at a local watering hole with some buddies, and they asked me that, you know, where do you put Chase Young on the all-time list? And I thought, man, you know, boy, Mike Vrabel's up there. I know Vernon Golston was the the single season sack holder before yesterday happened, or should I say, you know, until yesterday happened. There's just been some great ones, man.
Right. So here's a question.
God,
I think he's pretty much got it, at least for single season. He's got it.
Single season for sure.
For defensive linemen, career. I mean, he's been good his first 2 years, but he's not like lit the world on fire his first 2 years. I think.
Well, and that's because he had a couple of Boses sitting in front of him. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, but I mean, like Joey Bosa was really good as a freshman. No, even like a Johnny Simon, you know, was really good as a freshman.
Yeah.
You know, just to name two recent guys, let alone like the whole 100 plus years of football at Ohio State. So career wise, it becomes a little more challenging just because he's only going to have 3 years. And, you know, he was banged up. He did play all last season, but he was banged up and wasn't giving, you know, the full Chase Young experience. So I don't know about career, but for a single season, I think he's definitely got a defensive line. The question then becomes, is he the best defensive player? Is this the best defensive season that we've had? Does he look the best as any defensive player you've ever seen at Ohio State ever? And
whew, man,
we could like, you, I mean, just that we're able to like actually seriously have that conversation. I think we seriously can. It tells you enough right there. But, you know, I mean, it becomes a little difficult. Like, how do you compare Chase Young to like an Antoine Winfield
or
a Chris Spielman? You know, because what they're asked to do is so different, you know. But I'm like, man, as far as just dominating the guy in front of him, changing what the other team is doing. I mean, Chris Spielman was amazing, but did like he really change that much what the other team was doing as much as Chase Young? I mean, they have to account for him on every play or else he completely, you know, screws up what they're doing if they don't. And I mean, like that was one of the things going into this game. I'm like, what the hell was Penn State's plan to stop Chase Young? What were they thinking? Maybe we'll just get lucky and like, you know, the 50-60 snaps we take on offense, he'll just trip over his own feet. They just kept like single blocking him on passing downs and he would just go right by the guy. I'm like, I just don't understand it.
I was surprised they weren't bringing the running back, extra protection with him or bringing a tight end over to chip him off a little bit. Their offensive game plan was not good in that regard in trying to stop Chase Young. And if they thought that him maybe they thought that he'd be a little rusty after a 3 week layoff. And that was not the case. I mean, he had the game of his friggin' life, you know, the game of his career, obviously. Once again, career high 9 tackles, 3 sacks. I mean, you know, 4 for loss, 2 forced fumbles. Just, you know, whatever they thought that Chase Young was not going to be was completely wrong because, once again, your superstars, Chris, they come out and they play in the biggest games of the year. That's what they do. That's why they're superstars, man. They shine in the biggest moments on a national stage, and he did all of that yesterday.
Right. So Chase Young has only played the full game versus two teams. Just so happened to be the top competition on the schedule today, Wisconsin, Penn State. In those two games, 7 sacks.
Just seven.
Some
guys hope to have seven in their whole friggin' career.
Yeah.
He had seven in two games against the two best teams the Buckeyes have played this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's just astounding. It's really astounding.
Oh man, yep. So it's gonna be sad to see him go after this year. We know he's obviously headed off to the NFL. Hell, I think we knew that before he even stepped foot on campus. There was so much talk about him then. You know, I can remember you and I talking back a few years ago about how good this guy was supposed to be as an incoming freshman, and he has lived up to the hype and then some. Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, this is one where, you know, we're not going to be as good next year at that position. You know, maybe the team as a whole will be better. I don't know. They've got a, you know, various on the defense in particular. They've got, you know, the front seven has a whole lot of guys coming back in that front seven. But yeah,
well,
we're not going to fill those shoes. You know, it's like we lost Joey Bosa and we filled him with a guy who was, you know, when he was not injured, was probably even better than Nick Bosa. We lose Nick Bosa, we filled him with a guy who's like, sure looks to me like he's even better. You know, now that's not going to happen. The streak ends this year, sadly. But man, it's been a fun ride though.
Oh yeah, the defensive end position has certainly been as a term you've used quite often on the show, an embarrassment of riches, and it's probably going to dry up a little bit come next year. Now I think
at the top end, they're still going to be super deep next year.
Oh, super deep, super talented still. Don't know if a guy like Zach Harrison can be the next Chase Young. He looked very good yesterday. I think he had like four tackles in the game. Heck, the defense as a whole, man. my favorite linebacker in OSU history, Pete Werner, a guy I've ragged on relentlessly on this show. 10 tackles yesterday, led the team, also led the team with two pass breakups. So he had a game. Malik Harrison also had 9 tackles along with Chase Young, 2 for loss. Baron Browning and Tuff Borland each had 7 tackles. Browning 2.5 for loss, 1.5 sacks. So they were just that whole defensive front seven, man, just played lights out yesterday. Lights out.
Yeah, you know, the Werner thing was really interesting because coming into the season, you know, we were told that the bullet, it was really like a linebacker position, kind of a hybrid, but really more a linebacker. And what you would see is versus a good pass catching tight end, they would go with a bullet. They would go with Brendan White. And versus more of a traditional blocking, running kind of running game tight end, they're going to go with Werner. Well, we've seen that was just a bunch of bullshit. they're going to go with Werner regardless, you know, because this Freiermuth or Frankenstein, whatever the hell his name is, he was
Furzenfacher.
Yeah. Some people were saying he's the number one tight end in the country. He's good. Let's just say that he's good.
Yeah.
Werner, I mean, that basically the only thing Penn State had going for a while there until they, you know, their backup quarterback came in was just short little 5-yard passes to Freiermuth. And it was basically, you're talking about the number one tight end in the country and Pete Werner was right there with him right there. I mean, those plays, you know, Halfley said, he's like, we were content to give them that. If they wanted to go to KJ Hamler for 5 yards or Freiermuth for 5 yards and we take away everything else, we were content to give them that. And so that's what they did. And Pete Werner, if they tried to do anything more than 5 yards, he would knock it away. Like it was only those like quick little outs, quick little slants, which basically it wouldn't matter. You know, if you'd have put Okuda on him, it still would have been the same result. Cause, you know, I mean, Werner was just all over him. It's just you can't stop it against a guy like that.
Yeah, that, I mean, the defensive secondary was playing so tight that it was allowing that front seven on some of those stunts and blitzes and just, you know, if they drop back into zone for the defensive line and our boy Chase Young to get in there and wreak some havoc. You know, 5 pass breakups on the day, and they held Penn State to 128 yards, dude. 128 passing yards. Of course, this is the best passing defense in the entire country, so that doesn't come as a surprise. But still, they just were playing so tight on the back end that they just weren't allowing Clifford any time to do anything. And then his backup came in and ended up throwing a pick late in the game. Your boy, Justin Hilliard, who we talked about a little bit, hopefully getting a six-year medical red shirt, or six, you know, at least 6 year of eligibility.
Yeah. Well, he didn't participate in Senior Day. So he thinks he's going to get it, obviously, because he wasn't out there on Senior Day. So
yeah, that's interesting. I know. Yep. I know. But
I mean, it's up in the air, but I guess, I mean, he missed, like, he's not played in 3 full seasons. I mean, he's played in, like, 2 seasons maybe. So if there's ever a case where you're going to give a guy a sixth year, it'd be the guy who's you know, this is like basically his first full season.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's what we had talked about last week on the Leafcast when we were previewing this Penn State game. But how about another guy who has announced he is coming back for another season? And that was senior Jonathan Cooper, who has virtually been hurt all year, has not played in 4 games. And so he decided, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and redshirt. I'm coming back next year. That's huge news. We want to talk about the depth on the defensive line and maybe not looking as good next year because of the departure of Chase Young. But getting Jonathan Cooper back is big news.
Well, I tell you, Cooper has flashed and looked like an animal at times. He just disappears at times. I mean, if he's ever going to do it in your fifth year, that'd be the time to do it. Maybe he's gotten extra hungry and watched a whole bunch of film. You would hope over this time period being injured. So, you know, and then if nothing else, he's going to provide some nice leadership. You know, you're going to have some old men in that defensive huddle with Justin Hilliard and Jonathan Cooper over there. So that'll be good. And, you know, the Hilliard thing was interesting. He was out there because they've been doing this 4-4 lineup. It's actually kind of the opposite of, you know, we talked about where the bullet is. You're taking a linebacker off the field, Pete Warner, and you're bringing in a safety and Brendan White. You're bringing in a defensive back. This is you're taking out a defensive back, in which this case they take out Sean Wade, and you're bringing in a fourth linebacker.
An extra linebacker,
yeah. And they did that a lot versus Wisconsin. It was almost the base defense versus Wisconsin. And on, you know, like third and long, they wouldn't go with that. But pretty much the rest of the time versus Wisconsin, that was Justin Hilliard's first and only start of his career was versus Wisconsin. And they've here and there on running downs sprinkled it in since the Wisconsin game. And in Penn versus Penn State, they did it a lot. I mean, they were out there definitely in all the obvious running situations, the third and fours, you know, kind of they would be in that 4-4. And that's how Justin Hilliard was out there to make that pick at the time at the end of the game. So and even then, I mean, at that point, Penn State was down by 2 scores and there was, what, 3-4 minutes left. At that point, you're thinking, you know, if they want to run the ball, so be it. We're going to defend the pass. And they were still in it then. And what I would think would be more of a passing kind of situation. So they obviously like that look. And it's different. You know, who else runs a 4-4? I was just thinking about it. I'm like, I don't remember seeing that. I couldn't tell you the last time I saw somebody run a 4-4. I think maybe it's the last time I saw it was in, you know, playing Madden. I'm like, I just don't remember seeing that anywhere.
Yeah, it's kind of an archaic defense, you know, because of the speed of the game. Taking out a defensive back and putting in a little bit, you know, of a slower linebacker is typically not what you want to do unless you're playing an offense that generally runs the ball a whole lot and you need that extra size to swallow up the running back. But otherwise, yeah, 4-4 is not a very common defense anymore.
Well, here's the thing. I think the reason why they're comfortable doing it is because, one, they're not putting in like a slow plodding linebacker. These linebackers, you know, across the board, I mean, other than like maybe Tough Borland, move pretty well, are pretty athletic, and are pretty good at coverage. I mean, we were just talking about how good Pete Warner is in coverage. Justin Hilliard moves pretty well and looks pretty good in coverage. You know, these guys can get out there in space. So I think that's why they're more comfortable with it. And it just, it's a, you know, so far, what's not to like? I mean, this defense has just been absolutely amazing. And, you know, there were some offensive woes that happened in that game to make it a little closer than what we'd have liked. But the defense, I mean, has the starting defense, I mean, how many touchdowns has the starting defense given up on its own with no help? I mean, you've had instances where, Garrett Wilson's muffing a punt, and then the Rutgers only has, or whoever it was, only had like 26 yards to go from there for a touchdown. Yeah. Then you've got, yesterday Fields fumbling, Dobbins fumbling, and, setting up real short fields. And of course you've got many instances, probably the majority of the touchdowns is when the second half and the second and third string are in there. It's like, I mean, this starting defense without the aid of a short field by the special teams or offensive team, turning it over sort of thing. I mean, good luck driving the length of the field on these starters, man. They do not allow that to happen hardly ever. And it's, that travels, that's consistent. I'm not seeing, Fields, it's cold, rainy day. He drops the ball a few times. Dobbins, hadn't dropped the ball since the first game, drops one. Maybe.
And I'll attribute that to the rain and the slop and the cold.
Yeah. And maybe, Fields dropped the ball three times, lost two of them. He might've broke his hand on that. I mean, that was a hard hit right on the hand. You're talking about like a 240-pound linebacker, athlete coming at you full speed and launching himself head first into your hand with a helmet. It's amazing these guys don't break stuff all the time, especially the guys that are ball carriers that are taking hits every game. It's like, how do they make it through the game, But see, that could have contributed to it as well.
That was the woes I was going to touch on. Four fumbles yesterday by this Ohio State offense, lost three of them. One of them happened on initially what they ruled a touchdown by Justin Fields. However, they went back, took another look at it, and indeed he had gotten crushed on the hand, as you just stated, by the Penn State linebacker. Hopefully, nothing more serious than a deep bruise, if anything, because they're going to need him this coming weekend against you-know-who. But four fumbles, and Dobbins just uncharacteristically, dude. I mean, the Penn State defensive lineman came around, kind of tried to wrap him up, slipped off, but he did just enough to cause Dobbins to fumble it. And an uncharacteristic fumble by Dobbins, And then the second fumble, though, by Fields, the one that he lost at the goal line, that was a fumble you could tell upon replay. But the second fumble where he was got down. Sacked, boy, I thought it was the reverse, because when you saw the first fumble that they ruled initially a touchdown in real time, I thought that was a touchdown. And then they went back, they reviewed it, and it was like, oh, okay. The second one I thought was a fumble, but then they reviewed it, and I thought, uh-oh, okay. I mean, this is extremely close. This is extremely close. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's enough evidence to overturn it, but obviously, us having the benefit of seeing the replay in slow motion, you could tell that his right knee just barely touched the ground right before he lost the ball. And everybody thought that he was going to get overturned and we'd get the ball back, and instead that didn't happen. So that was a crappy missed call by the refs, but it didn't come back to hurt the Buckeyes. But offensively, Fields, not a bad day still through the air. I mean, he was efficient. 16-22, 188 yards, two touchdowns. Yes, he technically had two fumbles, but no interceptions. No interceptions.
Yep. Well, he completed 70% of his passes. Honestly, Ohio State got really conservative in that second half.
Yes, they did.
They only threw, 22 passes. It's 11 passes a half. Penn State was the number four ranked rush defense in the country, and they were like the 50th pass ranked defense. Minnesota had a lot of passing yards. Like several teams put up some passing yardage on Penn State. I thought the pass was there. I think maybe because the weather, it was a little wet. Maybe they also got a little shell shocked from seeing all these turnovers, being like, let's not tempt the gods too much here and throw the ball around. And then you get in the second half and you've got a lead and you're trying to run the clock out. I think maybe all of those things combined where they just said, screw it, we're just going to run it. But I think, you know, I mean, who knows? I mean, I guess they could have tried throwing it around and had four interceptions. But, you know, I think if they would have thrown the ball, that, you know, there was a pretty good chance that they could have pounded Penn State that way rather than what they did. Because, yeah, you know, they came out and they were pounding them, running the ball the first quarter, first couple drives there, like that, you know, those first three drives where they, you know, had basically drove right down the field and would have been 21-0 if it weren't for that fumble in the end zone. They were running the ball pretty good. But after that, I mean, I think they were below 2 yards a carry after that. So it was not great looking offense from that point going forward running the ball. So I mean, I'll take the win. I'm not going to bitch too much.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
You know, I'll take the win. Yeah. Hey, it worked. Yeah. And you know, it very, you know, thing, bad things can happen. You know, there's only three things that can happen when you throw the ball and two of them aren't good.
Two of them are bad.
So, you know, maybe it wouldn't have worked out had they done that. So, you know, but yeah.
I think the cold, sloppy weather played a part in it. Absolutely. I also think, yeah, maybe they tightened it up a little bit. I will give credit to Penn State's passing defense. The fact that they did.
Well, they were pressuring.
They were. They were playing some tight end. They were playing some tight D there,
yeah.
On the back end in the secondary. And there were some times where Fields, you could tell. Excuse me. Fields, you could tell. I mean, he dropped back to pass, and typically within 3 seconds, he's letting go of the ball. He didn't have a lot of those opportunities. Or he had to tuck it and run on several occasions.
Yeah.
So I thought Penn State's pass defense surprisingly played a lot better than I thought they would, and I figured that if Ohio State was going to win the game, it would be through the air and not on the ground and not put up 229 total rushing yards against the fourth-ranked overall defense and rushing defense in the country. Although I did call 200 yards and I think 3 rushing touchdowns, so 229 and 2, not too far off. But still, I was actually pleasantly surprised that Ohio State was able to assert their dominance on the ground. I really was.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they did well overall, especially considering the competition. And speaking of the competition, you know, one of the things that I've heard a lot of people say is, you know, this was really a dominant win, and the only reason it wasn't a dominant win is because Ohio State shot themselves in the foot with turnovers. And I'm like, well, you got to give Penn State a little bit of credit for forcing those turnovers too. Now, come on now. You know, a lot of other teams that weren't as talented as Penn State wouldn't have been able to force those turnovers. So, and even like, you know, you see like Fields, one, they stripped the ball, but then had the ability to recover with athletes going after it as the ball's being like flying around wildly. You know, they had guys who had the awareness to find the ball and the athletic ability, the coordination to hop on it, the desire, all of that. So, I give Penn State some credit for generating turnovers too and for being a tough opponent. And let's face it, this was significantly tougher for Ohio State than Wisconsin. You know, they're much more talented, much more athletic. I saw somewhere where Ohio State has 72 4- and 5-star recruits on their roster currently.
Who?
Before this game, the highest was Wisconsin with 12. Wow. Penn State has 50. So still, 50 to 72 is still a pretty big gap. I mean, that's like, you know, a whole starting, you know, 11, 22.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that's a perfect.
It's still a pretty big gap, but compare that to 12 for Wisconsin, you know. So the Penn State was, you know, at least in the same ballpark with Ohio State as far as talent, not stratospheres behind them. And you could tell they came out and they gave Ohio State a good game. It was clear they were not as good as Ohio State, but it was clear that they were the best team Ohio State has played to this point. And, you know, they made a game of it. So it very easily could have not been a game. You know, like I said, there's those missed opportunities. You know, maybe if they'd open up the playbook a little bit, not be so conservative. Or how about, you know, talk about bad calls. I thought the one Dobbins touchdown in the first half, it was a really ticky-tack holding call on Munford. And it was one of those where, like, Dobbins was already by Munford when he held. So had Munford not made the hold, it still would have been a touchdown. You know, it's not like the only reason Dobbins got in there was because Munford held the Penn State player, right? It's like, no, no, it didn't have an effect. You know, Dobbins was getting in there regardless. So, and then, you know, Penn State gets another chance to defend Ohio State. The very next play, they sack Fields and they get him out of there with no points. So little things like that, you know, that very easily could have been an ugly game, but they came through with the 2-score win, and I am absolutely celebrating this one.
This is definitely a win to celebrate, dude, because it, of course, clinches the Buckeyes in the Big Ten championship game for a third straight year. And who are they going to play, though? Well, we're going to find out this coming Saturday when Minnesota and Wisconsin kick off at 3:30 in Minneapolis. That is going to be a fun game to watch after, of course, the Buckeyes win their 8th straight game against the vaunted Smelly Rodents in the Big House this coming Saturday. Kickoffs at noon. I'm sure we'll talk about that here in a second. But, Chris, let me ask you this, okay? Let's just get weird for a second. So, Ohio State beats the Rodents, yet loses to Minnesota. Let's just say Minnesota. Let's just say Minnesota beats Wisconsin, right? So, it's Ohio State, Minnesota, Big Ten championship, and the Gophers knock off the Buckeyes in the Big Ten championship game. What does that do for a Big Ten representative in the Final Four?
So is it a...
Is the Big Ten screwed?
Is it a squeaker, or do they hammer the Buckeyes?
Either or. Let's do squeaker first.
If it's a squeaker, geez. If they hammer the Buckeyes, then they may actually... Obviously, that puts Ohio State out and enhances Minnesota's chances, because they would have a dominating win over a team that the committee really respects in Ohio State. If it's a squeaker, Ohio State has a better chance to make it, but almost like doesn't give Minnesota a chance. You can't do it in a bubble. You know, you really need to see who else there is. You know, if Georgia beats LSU in a squeaker, it's probably going to be LSU. Considering the committee considers them to be the number one team right now, and that would give both Ohio State and LSU losses. But
I think the
committee likes LSU better, and they would have lost to a higher ranked team in Georgia, where, you know, Minnesota, they have much lower than Georgia. So if that's the case, then you're definitely going with LSU. Now, if LSU knocks Georgia out, then the competition is, you know, maybe the Pac-12 champion. Now, if it's Oregon, because Oregon lost to ASU, then that's a 2-loss team, and I think the Big Ten team gets out. But if Utah wins out, you get a 1-loss Pac-12 team. You could have a 1-loss Oklahoma, or potentially a 1-loss Baylor. Man, that would really mess things up in Baylor, because the committee really doesn't like Baylor. So that would make things interesting.
No, they do not.
Minnesota. Yeah.
So, then let's kind of expand it a little bit.
I don't know. I guess that was not an answer. I would say I do not know, basically, because, well, it's like, what, you know, who knows?
And it is contingent upon, though, what happens in the other championship games. Let's say Alabama takes care of Auburn this coming weekend. LSU takes care of Georgia in the SEC championship game. Clemson, whoever the hell they're going to play, Virginia or Virginia Tech, doesn't matter. They beat them. They're undefeated. Reigning national champs, Power 5 conference champion. They're in, right? So at this point, you've got the number one, the number three teams winning out, undefeated conference champions. We know they're in. Alabama wins. Let's say, yeah, Utah wins, and I think if the Big 12 is going to have a representative, at least a shot at it being in the conversation, has to be Oklahoma. Because if it's Baylor, yeah, you're gone, Big 12. If Baylor beats Oklahoma in the Big 12 conference championship game rematch, they're done. Utah, can you – I mean – I don't want to take away from Utah, but does Utah really, like, just jump out to you as being one of the best teams, four best teams in the country?
No,
I mean, and is it just because they're Utah? But, I mean, I've seen some of their games this year, and they look good, but they just don't look dominatingly great.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, Oregon losing really hurt the Pac-12, because Oregon, remember, their only loss was first game of the season versus Auburn, and by 6 points. So that's not a bad loss at all.
No.
And especially, you know, the age of it. You know, one thing, Auburn's a solid team. They lost by 6 points. And it was the first week of the season. You know, the older the loss is, the less important it is. That's just how it is.
As the old saying goes, if you're going to lose, lose early. Don't lose late.
Yeah. And, man, it's just Utah does not move the needle. If it's Utah or Baylor, it's probably, in my thinking, is like you would put the Big Ten team in. The question would be, would you put in Ohio State or would you put in the Gophers? So let me see. So they've got Minnesota ranked.
How about two Big Ten, you know, representatives? We talked about this last week. You know, let's say LSU beats Georgia. Clemson beats whoever. Ohio State loses in a squeaker to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. You know, Georgia's got two losses. Minnesota is a one-loss Big Ten champ who just beat the, like you said, a team that the committee holds in high, high respect.
Right. And Minnesota is ahead of Baylor right now.
Baylor's like 14th in the country.
Utah is sixth. Oh, wait. No, I'm looking at the coaches' poll. Let me look at because we of course don't have the playoff rankings from last week. Let's see what we got from last week. Where was Utah at?
Oregon was sixth. Utah was seventh.
So Oregon, in theory, should be six.
Now,
man, it looks like Utah's nine up there in this scenario that we're playing through here.
I mean, because you know that, they're going to move up at least a spot now.
But yeah, but you're right, though. There's going to be that the locks would be LSU and Clemson. And so then I think Utah gets the one, and then it's probably Ohio State or Minnesota, which are both ahead of Baylor by a lot. Baylor's down at 14.
But then there's Alabama, Chris.
You know, Alabama's five. You're right.
You know.
What am I thinking? So, they're not going to put.
But
they're not going to put two Big Ten teams in for sure. But so it'd come down to Alabama or one loss Ohio State. Or Minnesota, one loss.
Ohio State's out. I think Ohio State's out. You know, I really do. The only
they would have
way
lost
they
their
can,
la- you know, you, like you say, lose early, and that would be the exact opposite of losing early.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you're losing the conference championship game. You're done at that point. I think the only way that a one loss Ohio State gets in. Oh boy, and
they lose to Minnesota. Smelly rodents.
Lose to the rodents weekend.
If they lose,
then turn around and pound Minnesota or Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. Get a little bit of retribution. Yeah. But I don't think that Ohio State. See, you said that you felt that Ohio State could still lose to the rodents by two touchdowns and get in. I'm not so sure. I think it's got to be closer. I think it's got to be. A definitive loss where Ohio State loses on like a last second field goal, or they're down a touchdown, or Michigan scored. Oh, I just said them. The Rodents score a last second touchdown to win the game, or they're up by a touchdown and Ohio State's got an opportunity and they're driving down the field, and then somehow the jerks up north stop them and they end up winning the game that way. I think it's got to be close. I don't think it can be definitive where Michigan has clear-cut control of the entire game and kind of makes Ohio State look bad. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, a blowout would knock Ohio State out, even if they win the title. I think you can't have a blowout in your 12th
game of the season. Exactly.
Losing, I mean, I wouldn't say losing by two touchdowns is a blowout. It's not good. It's a solid loss for sure. It's not a close game, but it's below a blowout. I put four scores. You know, you have three, so I guess basically like 24 points in my mind would be a blowout because it's three TDs and a field goal.
See, I see. Yeah. I mean, when you start talking blowout, I guess it's, you know, blowout. Yeah. 56 to 10. You know, that's a blowout. You know, is I mean, you say 24 points. I mean, would you consider Ohio State beating? Well, and it was only by 21 points, but 24 points, I guess, you know, look at. I don't know. I'm trying to think of, obviously, yeah, we blew Nebraska out. We blew Cincinnati out, you know, skirted, I guess, with a blowout, you would say, with Florida Atlantic at the beginning of the season. You know, we blew Wisconsin out. We blew out Maryland, obviously. Miami, I mean, you know, pretty much everybody that they played, they've blown out for the most part. But I just don't know if I could see Ohio State getting in, even, like I said, if the Rodents have a solid 2-touchdown lead throughout the game and they're dominating in that fashion and Ohio State's kind of constantly trying to play catch up and the Rodents just keep kind of fending them off and win a convincing 2-touchdown game, I think that's enough even to put them out. Even if they do go on to blow out a Minnesota, because then people say, well, I don't care if Minnesota was ranked 7th or 8th in the country or not. They're supposed to blow out Minnesota. That's silly old crappy Gopher Minnesota. That ain't an impressive win.
No, I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
This person just, I'm sure they're not from SEC country either.
No, they're probably, no, they're not from SEC country. They're from these parts. That was just my comic take on some moron. Like some of the people that I had to watch and listen to at this local watering hole yesterday where, you know, to your point, dude, we've talked about this. Hey, Penn State, dude, they recruit top level elite athletes as well. Okay, they're a Division I school. They're in the Big Ten. They're in the Big Ten East. Penn State is no slouch. Okay, I understand that, you know, that 2-yard carry that Dobbins had. I would love to have seen him bust out and go to the house, but sometimes that's just not reality. And some of these people sitting around are like, "Oh God, what? Are you kidding me? 2 yards, Dobbins? That's terrible." And I'm just like sitting here just laughing at some of these idiots, and we've talked about some of these fans, Chris, where it's just like, are you serious? Like, you know, take a step back and really try and look at yourself and how stupid you sound when you think that every single play Ohio State is going to bomb it down the field and score a touchdown, or Dobbins is going to rip off some, you know, crazy 55-yard touchdown run. Yeah, that ain't reality, folks. So having to sit there and watch some of these morons yesterday, and not everybody that was at the local watering hole was acting that way. Not everybody, but there were definitely several where I'm just like, you're fucking stupid. Just shut up. You know,
well,
you're just a fucking idiotic fan.
Ohio State coming, I don't know where it's at now, but coming into the game versus Penn State, it was the widest point differential since like 73, I think Nebraska and 70, it was like 46 years. Yeah, it was 73. It was since 73 Nebraska was it, and that, and it was the second widest in the last 100 years. If you take points scored minus points given up, the average per game, you know, which is like over 40 points for Ohio State. So if you can't be happy with an 11-0 Ohio State who's got the widest point differential in the last 46 years, you probably should pick another pastime. You know, a college football may not be your thing.
That's what I'm saying, man. I mean, come on, folks. We're still witnessing excellence right now in this Ohio State football team. And, you know, they're going to have some close games. And you want to know what? If they do win the next 2 games and get into the college football playoff, don't sit here and think that Ohio State is just going to roll over. I don't know who would be fourth. You want to know what would probably happen? All right, let's just say LSU.
Well, if everybody wins out, I think you're looking at 2 versus 3, Clemson, Ohio State, round one, and it's going to get real, real fast.
Well, and then could you imagine, would the committee not maybe kind of drool a little bit at wanting to see LSU beat Georgia and then move Alabama into that number 4 spot? and have a first round LSU Alabama rematch to get into the title game.
I don't know.
And
maybe.
And Ohio State Clemson rematch from 2016, because you know that, oh my God, the TV stations, who does the college football playoff is ABC, right? ABC would be all over the fact that the last time these two teams played, Ohio State got the fucking dicks kicked in and the shit kicked out of them and 31-0 and blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's the huge story, right? An LSU-Alabama rematch and an Ohio State-Clemson rematch from the last time they played in the first round of the playoff. They'd eat it up. They'd love it.
Well, I always think the huge story when we're playing Clemson is, from a history perspective goes, is that was Woody Hayes' last game. But
the infamous punch. Well, and that would get thrown in there too, if they didn't talk about that the last couple of times we played him as well. You've always got to bring up Woody and the infamous Charlie Bauman punch. But at any rate, yeah, this is going to be fun to see. Still don't have all of the championship games locked up. Yeah, there's still this coming weekend. Utah, as long as they beat Colorado, they're in against Oregon. Baylor, Oklahoma set. LSU, Georgia is set. But we still have to see what Virginia and Virginia Tech do in the ACC Coastal.
We don't have
represents
to see that.
Them against Clemson. Yeah. And then, of course, Minnesota, Wisconsin. Dude, I'm telling you what. I think a lot of eyeballs are going to be on that Wisconsin-Minnesota game. Especially, I know all of us Buckeye fans are certainly going to be watching it, regardless of win, lose, or draw against the Rodents, which they can't draw anymore, but you know what I'm saying, because this is obviously we're going to see who around 7 o'clock the Buckeyes take on in the Big Ten championship game. So another exciting weekend of football, and of course, Chris, we would be remiss if we don't at least talk a little bit about the Buckeyes' upcoming Donnybrook, headbanger, slobber knocker, knee knocker, jock strap scratcher. I'm trying to think of other colorful words to throw in about this coming Saturday's game between the undefeated 11-0, number 2 ranked Ohio State Buckeyes traveling north, as they say, north when you smell it, to the east when you step in it. The Big House, Ann Arbor, Michigan, against the right now 13th ranked 9-2 smelly asshole dick licking rodents from that state up north.
It's kind of insulting to rodents when you talk like that, Andy. I'm just saying.
Well, what kind of rodent? A Wolverine rodent? No.
I think you're,
maybe
you
a squirrel.
Are...
Squirrels are cute, yeah, you know, even though they're a rodent. But anyways, Chris, dude, big, huge game coming up this Saturday.
I think they
we're going to find out. We're going to find
Penn
out.
State was playing.
Wait, say that again.
Michigan is playing right now better than what Penn State has been playing right now.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I'd agree. So great point to bring up. The rodents. Really, since that Penn State game, the second half of that Penn State game, it seemed like they kind of took that
in the second best team
second
in the
half,
Big Ten,
build on
halftime.
It. Yeah, and they've really now looked like they're on a mission. They've had some convincing wins, and you know, went over to Indiana on Saturday, and you know, posted a solid, to your point, blowout win, 39-14 over an Indiana team in Bloomington who was 7-3 going into that football game. An Indiana team that went on the road to Penn State the weekend before and gave them one hell of a game and only lost by a touchdown.
Yeah, Indiana's
and Michigan
not bad.
Kind of, oh, I said it again. The Rodents made it look easy, so I would probably agree with you that right now, the way teams are trending, except for maybe Minnesota. Yeah, they had a hiccup against Iowa, but they still look pretty damn good against Northwestern in their win yesterday. Still got to get by Wisconsin, but you know, Wisconsin ain't necessarily the Wisconsin team we've seen the last, last year they were terrible, but you know, last couple of seasons before that. I've got a feeling Minnesota wins, and Boy, I tell you what, this is going to be interesting to see how Ryan Day, what's he going to do this week to get his guys prepared? Is he going to pull out the urban, time for war, it's time for war, it's time for war? Dude, that LL Cool J song, do you realize
Urban played
that song it was on a loop all day, every day, the entire week of the game. I'm sorry. At some point, I'd be like, dude, put on some frickin' Gordon Lightfoot or Engelbert Humperdinck. Anything but this song. I'm getting tired of this crap, you know? And I get it. That was Urban's, you know, psychology degree mind coming into work. But it's going to be interesting to see how Ryan Day has this team prepared. And quite frankly, if it's anything like he's been doing all year long, I don't think it's going to be nothing short of just having them insanely prepped to take on the rodents on Saturday.
Coach, can we get a little Yanni, please?
Yeah, Yanni! Give me John Tesh! Give me Lords of the Flatbush! Michael Flatley or something, for Pete's sake. I mean, dude.
Ryan Day did say that they played, actually, I think they played it before the Penn State game. They didn't play it on a loop, but they played it once before the Penn State game. So they still play that song.
Huh.
But yeah, Michigan, I don't have the same like hangups as you do. The meat chickens, they are a good team. They're playing, you know, they won, quote unquote, won the second half of the Penn State game convincingly, then beat Notre Dame 45-14.
Spanked them, smashed them.
Spanked them. Then beat Maryland 38-7. Granted, Maryland's terrible, but still they got the job done.
Yeah.
They beat Michigan State 44-10.
Crushed
Very
them.
Solid thumping of a rival. And then beat Indiana 39-14. So, yeah, this team has been on a roll and looking good. And, you know, the big knock on Michigan, their defense has been pretty good. And it's been pretty good for a long time, really. The big knock was they were just so offensively challenged. Well, since the last few games, all of a sudden, Sean Patterson has learned how to play quarterback. You know, they're passing the ball. And let's not forget, I mean, they've got some players out there. I mean, this is like where Penn State just had KJ Hamler and Frankenstein. You know, they've got this Nico Collins kid who looks like could be a pro. They got DPJ or whatever the hell his name is.
Donovan Peoples-Jones.
He's definitely a pro. I mean, that guy would be starting on Ohio State if he was here. And Ohio State did their best to try to land him and just fell short. But, I mean, that kid's a pure stud. And, you know, the thing about elite wide receivers, you know, Ohio State has elite defensive backs. But when you have an elite wide receiver versus an elite defensive back and a good throw, an elite throw, the offense wins. So it's like, we've got elite defensive backs, but elite offense beats elite defense. Now, Sean Patterson has to have time to get the ball there, which, you know, if they don't come out with a better plan to block Chase Young than the Shittany Lions did, then good luck with that. but if they can figure out some way, at least double, triple team him, you know, I throwing up some 50-50 balls to DPJ, that could be effective. You know, that could be effective. So, and it's, you know, it's in the outhouse. It's in.
Yes, I never even thought about calling it the outhouse.
The big outhouse. I like calling it the big outhouse. And then there's a chance for snow, which I don't know.
I heard that.
So they could have a snowy Ohio State, the game. A lot of factors. I don't know. In some ways,
like
I think if it's snowy, that may actually play in Ohio State's favor, because I think Ohio State will have absolutely no problem just completely stonewalling their offense if it's too snowy for them to throw. Where, you know, I think Ohio State will be able to still get some stuff done with the, you know, RPO plays and, you know, having an elite running quarterback in addition to, you know, a pretty darn good feller there by the name of J. Kalen Dobbins.
J. Kalen. I think it's Jonathan. Is it? What is his middle name? Is it Kalen?
I think it's J. Kalen. Like, it's not even like it's one word. J. Kalen. That's what I heard. It's actually like not even two words, but he just goes by J.K.
I'm gonna see if I can Google this real quick. Well, you talk about Michigan's, I said it a third time, crap. I remember doing this last year, too. God, I remember doing this last year during the Leaf cast, and I kept saying their fucking name.
So here's, I'm looking it up.
Didn't come back to bite us in the ass.
Wikipedia says J apostrophe Kalen. J Kalen. Like, it's not like a dot here. I'll even like.
Like J Kalen. I see it too. Yeah. J apostrophe Kalen. K-A-Y-L-I-N. J Kalen. Huh. J Kalen. I thought his first name was like Jonathan.
No.
Honestly. But, huh. All right. Well, there you go. A little bit of knowledge.
No, Joseph. He was Joseph Thomas.
Yeah. Joseph Thomas. Yeah. Joseph Thomas. Yeah. But the Rodents do have a solid defense, especially through the air. They're second right now to the Buckeyes, allowing 161 yards a game. They got 9 picks on the year. Not too bad, actually. That puts them in the upper, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's around like 7th. They're like tied for 7th in picks. So not a ton of picks, but they've only allowed 9 touchdowns, dude. 9. So 160 yards through the air, 9 passing touchdowns. They got 9 picks. That's some pretty solid pass defense. Their rushing defense, not too bad either. I mean, they're only allowing 105 yards a game on the ground. And Big Ten needs to do something with their website. This is terrible. Because according to the Big Ten's official website, nobody in the Big Ten has allowed a rushing TD all year long.
We play everybody's some defense in the zero. Big Ten. That's how we do it.
I'm telling you, man. Gee, many Christmas. Oh, and to this point, nobody scored a rushing touchdown either. So,
well, it's because our rushing defenses are so good. What can you expect?
Yeah, I'm telling you, gee, Christmas. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the rushing defense, the offenses can't score because the defenses are so damn good. But the Rodents do have the best, second best passing defense, second best total defense, 267 yards a game. Of course, they are facing the best defenses in the conference in the Buckeyes. Buckeyes only allowing 217 total yards a game. Of course, as we talked about a few minutes ago in the Penn State recap, the Buckeyes are the best passing defense in the country, only allowing 126 yards a game and 6 passing touchdowns, 14 picks on the year. That is actually tied with Minnesota in the first in the conference in interceptions. So, you know, the Rodents are going to have to get on it. And if Ohio State wasn't playing at the level that they were playing this year, I really would legitimately, because I said this last year, for some reason, stupidly, moronically, and I think it was just because Michigan's defense was so lights out until that Ohio State game last year.
Oh, that was so
glorious.
Where
the Buckeyes posted 62 points and Dwayne Haskins went nuts.
Yeah, that's not happening this year. That was not happening this
year. That's not going to happen. I really do think this is going to be a tight ball game. I really do. And I never try to make a prediction. Last year, though, reverse psychology worked because I picked Michigan and Ohio State, completely blew their fucking doors off. This year, maybe I should go ahead and say that Ryan Day's first official game as the head coach of the Ohio State University in the game, he's going to suffer his first loss of the year. It's going to be at the hands of Jimmy Cax and Michigan, Jim Harbaugh, finally get it done. But I'm not so sure about that. I'm not feeling that. Just the way that Ryan Day has them playing, I really am not sure that Harbaugh is going to finally get his first win over Ohio State.
So,
and I don't know. I'm just not feeling that confident for them.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. I think Michigan wants it more than Ohio State. Ohio State's in the Big Ten championship game, whether they win or lose. So their season, they still have all their goals. And like I said, there's a real good shot. They're still going to make the playoffs, even if they lose to Michigan. So But Michigan, meanwhile, like, it makes their season if they beat Ohio State. Ohio State can still basically do everything they wanted to do other than, like, lose to their rivals. They, of course, didn't want to do that, but they can still meet all their goals. This makes Michigan's season. I don't care if they go out and then lay an egg in the bowl game. All those players, the coaches, the fan base, they are going to be thrilled with this season if Jimmy Cax pulls off the win Saturday. So I think they're going to want it more. Now, does that mean they can do it if they want it more? I'm calling for snow. It's in the big outhouse. I think it's going to be a snowy defensive struggle kind of game. You know, it gets cold, your fingers get numb, the ball gets wet. We could see some crazy turnovers. Those could go in Ohio State's favor. Those could go against them. I think it's going to probably negate a lot of the passing game, which would be a big advantage for Ohio State. Although when you list off those defensive stats, maybe not. So it would not shock me at all to see them play that, see to Michigan pull out a victory here in like a snowy, slippery, you know, four turnovers for Ohio State to two versus Michigan kind of thing, you know? And that would not shock me at all. And, it, you know, the thing is, had they played earlier in the year, I think Ohio State would have blew the doors off of them. Like, if they played them before that Penn State game, I think it'd have been a blowout. But now it's like, I think it's going to be close. So I am not afraid to make a prediction. I'm going to say snowy defensive struggle. Your Ohio State Buckeyes win 21-13. Do not cover the spread. Actually, I don't know what the spread is, but I'm guessing it's bigger than, I'm guessing it's bigger than 8 points. Well, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. Hmm. Let's take a look.
I like that prediction. I do. I think almost either way, regardless of the weather, it's probably going to be cold. Yeah, it typically is this time of the year in late November, whether you're in the big outhouse or you're down here in Columbus. Yeah, typically that game does not see a lot of sunny, you know, nice days that they've played. There's been a couple here and there, but most of the time it's, you know, kind of just cold, gray, clammy, crummy. If you throw in the snow on top of that, yeah, this is going to get real interesting because the nation's fourth best rushing offense could possibly run it up in either way, but they may have to rely more on the run if it's definitely shitty weather outside against the conference's, you know, fifth ranked rushing defense.
So I just looked it up.
But once
again, the spread is currently 9.5, just for reference. So I had them winning by 8, not covering the spread, but 9.5. Actually, this is the closest the spread has been in several years. It's been up to as many as 14 points in the last 14 years, or I'm sorry, the last 4 years. But I think the last four games, it's been double digit spread. And of course, Ohio State has won the last 7.
Well, Ohio State wasn't – well, last year, remember, they were an underdog going into that game.
I must have read something wrong. I thought I read that somewhere.
Yeah. Ohio State was, I think, like a 4-point underdog or something crazy last year because that was one of the things I remember you talked about was don't ever, ever – make Urban Meyer an underdog, especially to the frickin' rodents of all teams on his own field. Don't do it because you're going to get fucking pounded in the butt. And that's exactly what he did. But yeah, this is going to be interesting. I see it. Honestly, I right now, you know, I'm trying to think. Well, here's the thing. You're saying, you know, gritty defensive game. Buckeyes do, you know, pull out a nice, I would say, an 8-point win is still a solid win over your arch rival on their field. I think that would be respectable. That still keeps you obviously afloat in the college football playoff. I don't care if Ohio State has to win on the last second field goal by a point. You know, Ohio State wins out, they're in, period. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we've reached the point where, like, I will be happy with 1-point victories the whole rest of the way. You're not going to hear me complaining.
Like you said,
as long as that they got a W on out of that, I will not complain.
That's all they need to do. Just win out. Win out. You're undefeated. You're the Big Ten champ. You're in. Yeah, you can beat the Rodents and beat either Minnesota or Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game by one stinking point, and you're in. So, exactly. If they won by 8 points, hell, I think I might honestly do a freaking jig and dance the night away at an 8-point win, because I'm not so sure that if Ohio State does win this game, it's going to be by 8 points. I think it's going to be even grittier than that. I think it is going to be somewhat of a defensive battle. I don't think you're going to see 62 points put up against the Rodents, and I don't think they're going to be putting up 39 points against this Ohio State defense, that's for sure, because Michigan, your offense may be looking better since the second half of the Penn State game, but you ain't been looking that good. You haven't faced a defense all freaking year like you're about to face this coming Saturday in Ohio State. But I do think that Michigan is, like you said, I think they could possibly just want this more from a sheer motivation factor. But as we've seen in some of these games, dude, as you know, the last 4 years, yeah, Harbaugh had them ready to play in 2016. And legitimately, they should have beaten Ohio State in 2016. But Ohio State scrapped and clawed their way in that fourth quarter to come back and force overtime and then eventually win it. And 2017, the next year, of course, Ohio State down 14 points early second quarter, but had to scrap and claw their way back throughout much of the game. And then finally closed it out in the fourth quarter and had a, you know, solid 11-point win. I would not doubt to see Harbaugh has them motivated in that sense, especially what happened to them last year. I think he definitely, and the fact that it's up there, he has his team flying high, ready to go. But from a talent standpoint, and I'm not taking anything away from the Rodents and their talent, because like you were just pointing out, they got some kids that can ball out. I mean, they have some studs on their team who are playing at a high level right now. But it just don't, you know, they just have not seen this level of talent, this deep of talent from any team this whole entire season. And I think that alone is going to help Ohio State. If they win, they're going to win because of that. Not necessarily to say they're not going to be motivated to play this game. Dude, trust me. I mean, Ohio State, dude, Ryan Day's going to have these fuckers ready to fucking go. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
He's going to have them ready to just flying high at their own level. But Harbaugh might just have his boys a pinch higher. And I think it is. It's going to be gritty. If Ohio State wins, it's close. But I would not be surprised either if Harbaugh finally gets the win. Just given all of the recent history and circumstances, as I just touched on, I would not doubt it at all if he finally pulls it off.
So I'm looking at the over-under here. Over-under is 55.5. Spread is 9.5. That means Vegas sees it roughly 33-23 Ohio State.
Hmm. 10-point win, huh?
That works out to about 9.5, 55.5.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I mean,
give or take a point.
We're going to find out.
That's high. I think I would take the under. You know, I'm not a betting man personally, but gun to head, you have to make a bet. And if I had to choose between Ohio State covering the spread or not, or over or under, the one that's most attractive to me would be to take the under. Of course, I say that it'll probably be like, you know, 50 degrees, sunny, no wind. And they'll be, you know, all guns blazing, but two pretty good defenses.
Another 42-41 shootout.
Yeah, I mean, even if we do get great weather, like I said, Ohio State's defense has not given up anything. I don't care who you are so far this season. There's no reason to think that's really going to change at this point. Well, except for the fact that they will not face wide receivers of this level to this point. So,
and I think that's fair, yeah, too. On the offensive side of the ball right now, yeah, this is probably going to be the best offense that Ohio State has faced all year, especially with the way they're playing and those receivers, for sure. You know, because it's not like they just have one KJ Hamler. They have like three way better than KJ Hamler's, like solid NFL type receivers. Now, I'm not saying KJ Hamler is not going to make it at the next level or he's not an NFL receiver, but these guys are like, you can toss the ball up, they go up, corner the end zone, come down with it, 50-50 balls, they're winning more than 50% of the time. That's the kind of receivers that the Rodents have. And this is going to be fun, dude, because it is going to be a test to see how Ohio State's defensive backs respond to playing NFL style receivers. I mean, this is going to be the dude. It's going to be a knee banger, a knee knocker, dude, a fucking head banger. I can't wait, man. I just can't wait. So, oh my goodness. All right, brother. Hey, having said that, it's probably time for us to go nighty night because we do indeed, even though it's a short week, you know, we got a lot to try and accomplish here throughout the week. Of course, Thanksgiving is coming up. So happy Thanksgiving, Chris, to all of the one happy Urban Meyer listener out there to the show. Hopefully your, and if maybe there are a couple other people out there listening, your Thanksgiving goes well. Safe travels if you're hitting the road. Otherwise, eat a bunch of turkey, get fat, and get ready to root on the Buckeyes Saturday noon in the shit house against the 13th ranked 9-2 smelly rodents. Christopher, before we leave, anything you want to tell the fine listeners out there where they can get a little more Christophonic in their life?
Sure, just you know, my musical number. If you want to hear my music, I go by Zen Large, Zenlarge, Zen Large. Just look me up, YouTube, Facebook, that sort of thing, Twitter. You'll find me.
Right on. Get large with Christophonic, Zen Large, YouTube. Also, check out the Buckeye Leafcast, which has been brought to you by Christie's Cleaning Services, LLC. If it's not clean until it's Christy Clean. Be sure to visit our Facebook page at Christy's Cleaning Services, LLC. We are on Twitter, Chris. We're on Facebook. We are on YouTube. We're on Podbean. We are now on Spotify. Woo! Yes, that's right. Yes, the Buckeye Leafcast you can now find on Spotify. We're on iTunes. We're all over the place. So you have a bevy of options to check out the Buckeye Leafcast. Jump on, listen to us, give us a like, give us a share, give us a comment, feedback, constructive or otherwise. We appreciate any sort of patronage you guys give us each and every week. And Chris, let's leave them like we always do, and let's make this one count in honor of the game this coming Saturday. Oh, wait! Go Bucks!
Hey, no, baby.
I wanna go back, I gotta go back to Ohio.